720 WGN, high atop Chicago in the Skyline Studio. Dane Neal here with you, and excited to have on the line with us one of Chicago's very own, a Rib King, restaurateur, best-selling author, barbecue Hall of Famer, entrepreneurial, inspirational American patriot, the one and only Famous Dave Anderson. Welcome to WGN.
Hey, Dane. I am so excited to be on WGN and again with my hometown crowd, sweet home Chicago fans.
They're excited to hear you. This is a great day. Thanksgiving is one of the days that is centric around food and fun and family. So many times, obviously, and for good reason, you're associated with barbecue, but I know you make a mean campfire pizza. You love all kinds of food. You travel the country highlighting it as well. But when it comes to Thanksgiving for the Anderson family, what are some traditions that you guys have? Are there any special dishes or turkey related things you guys do today?
You know, Thanksgiving is really a special time where the family gets together. You know, it's about being grateful. It's about giving thanks. We're a very God-fearing family. And I tell you what, Dane, especially in these COVID times when there's a lot of uncertainty, if there's ever a time that take pause and stop and give thanks, because, you know, despite all that we're dealing with, you know what? We're still here, and we still have a lot to be thankful for. So I think for the Anderson family, we've always been really grateful for all this great country has provided us. I know that we all have our ups and downs, but you know what? That's life. And at the end of the day, you got to give thanks. You always got to give thanks. And so for us, this is a great time to spend with family. It's a time where you go all out and you have a really great, tasty Thanksgiving dinner. And hopefully we'll get to share a few thoughts in the next few minutes on what makes our Thanksgiving dinner so special. And yep. I might even share a few secrets on how to properly carve a turkey.
Ooh, everybody get your notepads out. And so Dave is going to share that with us in just a minute. Big family, great family that you guys have in the Andersons. This year, obviously 2020 is a little bit different. A lot of families, because of either where the kids are or where they live, they're having to stay apart. You guys are really close. Are you guys all together today as a family, or are there some family members that are going to be celebrating in another place today?
Well, we're pretty much all over the board on both sides of our family. I think, you know, my family are Native American, and sometimes there's often question why you guys celebrating Thanksgiving, but my wife is a Norwegian from Edgerton, Wisconsin, and so on her side of the family, there's a lot of folks in the southern part of the Wisconsin area, and then I got family around, but we do have a couple folks this year who are in different parts of the country that we just thought it would better that maybe this one year that the travel is going to put a damper on their plans and joining us, which is very understandable. But I think for the rest of us, most of us have really been very careful in quarantining ourselves, and so we're going to do all of the precautions with everybody that wanted to come knew that the days coming up that they should be very careful with their own contacts, so that when they come here, they're pretty much, we're in a safe zone.
Yeah.
So everybody's going to be wearing masks, in coming. And I think we're doing everything that we can. We're going to stay apart as much as possible. And we're going to have a really safe Thanksgiving.
That's the way you got to do it. A lot of people are doing that these days. And of course, they take comfort in the fact that everybody is kind of in that same boat. Now, here's the thing, Dave, and you mentioned it before. The turkey, even though it's been around the entire history of our country, it's got this iconic place in our history. Thanksgiving, you mentioned the Native American side. I thought that was great. But still, for so many people, the turkey's kind of a big ball of mystery, right? It's whether it's how to cook it, how to prepare it, how to enjoy it best, and then when it comes to cutting it. So we've got all our listeners here at WGN have their notepads out and they're ready to take some notes. Let's talk about the best way to go ahead and cut that thing.
Well, first of all, we always have two turkeys. We have one roasted in the oven, that like most folks do. But, you know, being America's rib king, I've got to smoke one, which is what we're featuring at Famous Dave's. All of you, if you want to really have a treat, go out and get your smoked turkey. But, you know, probably one of the biggest questions I always get is, how do you tie that sucker? I think for a lot of people, and you see it done all the time, they start off at the top and they'll start slicing down. And in reality, what you're doing is you're actually slicing with the grain. And you know all meat should be sliced against the grain. So here's how you properly carve a turkey. First of all, you take the leg and you just kind of gently push it out from the bird, and as you push it out, the skin will kind of stretch a little bit, and that's where you take a sharp knife, and you'll just kind of go down the center, and you'll go right to the skin very easily. But then as you pull the leg out, you'll kind of feel the joint, and the joint will separate. And you just take your knife and you go right through the middle of that joint and pull the leg section apart and just kind of put that to the side for a moment. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to take the side of that turkey, and starting right from the top, and sometimes people call that the breastbone. It's not. It's actually called a keel. So right along that center cartilage type of bone thing, you take your knife and you start slicing down. And on the back end, you'll kind of go around the wishbone. And then you'll take that entire piece of turkey meat off of the bone. And you'll have a real nice whole lobe. Now, you put that on the cutting board with the skin on it, and you start slicing it from the end to end. And that way you're slicing against the grain, and you'll end up with some really beautiful slices of turkey. That's the professional way. Now, going back to the leg, you want to take the thigh section off. And as you take the thigh section off from the leg piece, you'll notice that there's one bone there. And you just take a sharp knife and just kind of slice right along that bone and pull that bone out. And then take the thigh meat with the skin and just roll it up. And then you can slice that really easily. So you have dark meat with the skin, and you can place that next to your white sliced meat. And then you want to do the same thing with the paddle, the wing. Pull that. You can pretty much pull that off the carcass a bit, and then you could probably slice it more if you want to do that. But I would take the drummy type paddle, and then the tip. You want to take the tip off because you can't eat it, and all of the stuff that you're taking off. Always keep that, because that makes for a good turkey stock. And so really what I just shared with you is a really simple way how to properly carve a Thanksgiving turkey where it doesn't fall apart on you, and you get really nice slices of both white meat and dark meat.
Oh, that's awesome, Dave. I know a lot of people are taking notes. We'll have links up at WGNradio.com for that as well. And we always talk about Thanksgiving isn't just today on Thursday. It really does last the whole week. We're going to make a couple turkeys. Now, we've got ours right now. It's in the barrel. It's like in one of those pit barrel cookers cooking away right now. You mentioned you're going to smoke yours. Now, you're, of course, famous and known for your affinity for the aquarium smokers. Is that where yours is going to be, or how are you cooking yours?
Well, hold tight, Dave. We're going to get back to that. We got to get into a break. We're going to come back. Stay tuned, everybody. Dave is going to describe how he is going to smoke his turkey today for Thanksgiving. It's a quick break, Dane, here on Thanksgiving 720 WGN. 720 WGN back here on Thanksgiving, and continuing our conversation with Famous Dave Anderson. He is up in the compound. We were talking about our turkeys in the pit barrel cooker. Dave is so identified with the Chicago Aquarium smoker. So Dave, welcome back. And is that where you're going to cook your smoke your turkey today? Is it going to be in the aquarium smoker?
Yeah, that's interesting you brought that up, because yes, I am probably one of the few people anywhere that actually has a true Chicagoland style aquarium smokers that you would see in some of the storefront barbecue joints in Chicago, like Lem's, Honey One. Some of these places still have those great old-fashioned, you know, those smokers go all the way back to the 1950s, and the reason why they call them aquarium smokers is because, you know, they're about 6 feet tall, but there's about 3 feet of glass all the way around where the pitmaster can actually watch the meats being smoked. Now, one of the differences that makes the meat smoked in these aquarium smokers so tasty is that they're smoked over a live fire. But, you know, we typically at Famous Dave's, we have a real smoked, and so that's where when we're providing our smoked turkeys for fans, that's how we do it. Real smoke, real flavor, great tasting turkey. Now, you in the beginning, you kind of asked me about the sides that the Anderson family does.
Yeah.
You know, one of the favorite things, you know, for us being from the Native American side, is we always have wild rice. And I don't think there's anything more suitable than wild rice and turkey, really. I mean, that really goes back. But here's how to make really great tasting wild rice. We like to take a turkey stock, and we will take and boil or simmer the rice in turkey stock. And then the other thing that I do is I'll add a slice of smoky bacon. So one slice of smoky bacon, wild rice. One other tip. We first start to simmer the wild rice. You will take and bring it up to a quick boil, and you will notice the water get really dark. Just take and discard that water, and that also kind of gives you a cleaner tasting wild rice. But then once you do that, then add turkey stock and finish simmering your rice in turkey stock till it almost explodes, but it opens up and gets really fluffy. And then with that smoky bacon in there, I'm telling you what, that is one of the best tasting side dishes for a turkey. And then, you know, being from, my mom is from the Lakota Ray Reservation up in Hayward, Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And that entire area is known for cranberries. And my wife, Kathy, who's from Wisconsin too, always had a great recipe for a cranberry. It's almost like a salsa, more than it is cranberry jelly. What we do is we take fresh cranberries, a whole orange, just wash the outside of the orange. It's a whole orange. And then with a, you know, about a pound of cranberries, a whole orange and a cup of sugar. And then just take and grind that up in a blender, food processor. And I'm telling you what, that is tasty. It's fresh. And it's just it's a lot more flavorful than the stuff that's just like cranberry jelly you get out of a can.
Oh, David, so good. So many great things. So many great and like authentic favorites for Team Anderson as well. I wanted to ask you too, is, you know, for the course of this summer and the pandemic and everything that's going on, people are finding themselves trying to quarantine in different places. I cannot imagine a better place to quarantine than right there on Big Round Lake in Hayward with an aquarium smoker, like right up there. Did you guys get a chance? Was that one of the things? Is I know that you've got that wonderful, awesome little slice of heaven there. Did you spend a lot of that quarantine type time right there in your own spot?
Yeah, you know, I'm 67 years old these days, and you know, you just never know. So you know, outside of you know, getting around to our Famous Dave's restaurants, I've pretty much been up in Hayward, Wisconsin, just sitting on the lake there, quarantined. Me and God's country. It's so beautiful up there. I always tell people I live up in the North Woods, God's country, where a phone call to God is just a local call.
Oh, and Dave, I got to tell, and for the listeners that have never been there, it is an awesome place. And so you are in a great place to be, regardless of whether there's a pandemic or just a normal time. It's awesome. But also, one of the things you're known and famous for that we want to definitely share is you travel the country. You're always moving. You never stop. And as we get towards 2021 and hopefully a little bit more normalcy in so many different ways, is there anything kind of cool that you've got on the horizon and in the works, you never stop, that maybe people can kind of look forward to coming up next year or in the holidays?
Well, you know, I think for all of us as restaurant owners, we are really getting whacked.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm so grateful for WGN and you, Dane, and giving me a call, because, you know, this way I'm able to share that, you know, if there was ever a time that your listening audience gets out and supports us in the restaurant business, we really need your help. I know at Famous Dave's, you know, we've had to close all of our dining rooms, Chicagoland area. But we, you know, the one thing about Famous Dave's barbecue is our food travels well. Yeah. You know, our ribs, our honey buttered cornbread, the tasty barbecue baked beans, you know, the coleslaw, the creamy coleslaw, all of this is great tasting food that travels really well. And then we have been able to really survive because of our takeout and curbside delivery. So, you know, I want to thank everybody for coming out, but also I want to encourage everybody, you know, not only support Famous Dave's, but also other restaurants. I know I have a lot of good friends in the area that own restaurants in the Chicagoland area. We need your help. We really need your help. You know, it's always tough to be in the restaurant business, even at 100%.
Yep.
But then, you know, then they closed it down to 50% and they closed it down to 25%. And now that we're totally closed, it is crushing us in the restaurant business. But, you know, you gotta remain hopeful. And this has given rise to us trying to figure out, you know, the one thing about adversity, you can either be a victim of it or you can use adversity to build, to become the architects of your destiny going forward. So at Famous Dave's, we have really hunkered down to try and figure out what can we do different. And we've actually opened up a couple of what we call ghost kitchens, where we're able to get a little bit more in the neighborhood without having a big footprint, without you know, having a lot of the cost of having a big wide open restaurant. But we're able to offer the same great Famous Dave's food utilizing what's being called as ghost kitchens.
See, that's one of the things that people are doing. It has been so hard on the restaurant business. And Dave, obviously as an advocate on the barbecue side and for Famous Dave, but really as someone who has, I think, the well-being and benefit of the entire restaurant community, all of those people kind of at heart, right? You support all of them. I got to tell you too, is from just a Famous Dave's perspective, what you guys are doing on the pickup thing, we've done it a couple times. I don't know if it's like 5 pounds of rib tips and fries and all that kind of stuff for a pickup. It's a great value. And we, you know, have and eat it for a couple days. And so that's one thing that you guys are offering. It's great to hear about those mobile kind of ghost kitchens as well. And plus, of course, the tips and everything that's going on. We'll let you get back to the family and to all of the things that you guys are doing there in Hayward and Minnesota and all the different places where you are, and especially today on Thanksgiving. Thanks, Dave, for sharing your Thanksgiving, and thanks for being part of ours here on WGN.
Hey, Dang, thank you for WGN. You guys are the best radio stations in all of Chicagoland, and to all your listening audience, I just wish you guys the best Thanksgiving. Please enjoy your family. Please be safe. God bless America. We live truly in a great, great, great country where we can get together, celebrate Thanksgiving. I'm just happy to be alive. I'm happy to be in this great country. And gobble, gobble, gobble. You guys have the best Thanksgiving ever. Take care. Love you all.
Wow! 720 WGN, high atop Chicago in the Skyline Studio. Daniel here with you on the line on a day, right, when families come together. You know, we're also staying apart. Food is a way that we celebrate in many ways on Thanksgiving. This year, even more families are also further from food than ever before, and important work is being done here in Chicago and, of course, across the country by Feeding America. Excited to have Executive Vice President and Chief Operating Officer for Feeding America, Katie Fitzgerald, on. Katie, welcome to WGN.
Hi, Jane. Thanks for having me on. It's great, great to talk to you and meet you.
Well, it's great to have you. And happy Thanksgiving, first off. And so a big happy Thanksgiving from Chicago to you, your family, and of course, all of our listeners as well. And at a time like this, you think it is a time to have that conversation. So many of us are thinking about food, having food. And I think it's important to also recognize that this is a time when a lot of people are having, whether it's food insecurity or difficulties during the holiday. And so let's talk a little bit about that. So even though we're all thinking about food right now on Thanksgiving because of the pandemic, this has been a huge challenge for a long time now.
Yeah, Dane. So, you know, first of all, happy Thanksgiving to you and to all your listeners. And thank you for, you know, holding up this issue on this day when we all are thinking about food and what we're thankful for. And what we're thankful for is the fact that people like you are raising up this issue. Yet food insecurity in this country is at an all-time high, really higher than we've ever seen it in the history of food banking in this country in our 40-year history. Right now, we have, over the past 8 months, seen the level of food insecurity at our food banks consistently at over 60% new people coming to seek charitable food support. And our food bank network is distributing on average 50% more than we were distributing before the pandemic. So unfortunately, it is a surge that has just never relented since the beginning of this pandemic.
It's the kind of thing that people don't necessarily think of or know. It isn't something obvious. You mentioned 60% new people that have never needed or reached out for this kind of support before, but 40 years for Feeding America. You guys have been doing that important work for a long, long time. We think of, at least I do here, think of Feeding America as Chicago, of course, but a national impact, 200 food banks around the country, 67,000 food pantries that are part of that network supported and in sort of the family for Feeding America. If you could kind of share with the listeners just a little bit about just how big the impact is that you guys have on a yearly basis.
Yeah, so as you just mentioned, we're the largest hunger relief and food waste network in the country, and it is truly a network. We are a ragtag group of nonprofit organizations, faith-based community partners, community-based organizations, 200 member food banks that are connected to those 60 plus thousand organizations in every community. Those 200 food banks serve every county in the United States, including Puerto Rico. And the national organization where I work is really the sister and brother to all of those partners. We're helping to find food. We're helping to build technologies that support their ability to help people in need. We raise funding. Of course, we've raised considerable funding for the COVID-19 response and have put all of those dollars out into the community. And so we're really a support to the good work that people all over this country are doing. And in any given, you know, even before the pandemic, 2 million volunteers a month would participate in supporting local food banks and partner organizations in their community. So I'm sure many listeners are volunteers in the Feeding America network of food banks, and it's just a vital community-based movement all across this country, and we've just never needed everyone more than we need them now, and they're really showing up.
Talk a little bit about just kind of the unique impact that coronavirus, the pandemic, it's impacted everybody. It's the one thing that we've all had some impacts, whether it's, you know, directly into the jobs and the vocations in the industry. We cover a lot of the restaurants and the foods and, you know, chefs and all of those personalities. And that industry has been hit harder than ever as well. And so from a Feeding America perspective, just as in kind of just the food thought process, how has the pandemic really hit the food situation hard?
Yeah, so absolutely. I mean, so we kind of talk about it and think about it like a triple whammy is how I've come to discuss it. It's on the demand side first, of course, we talked about that, where we see this consistent increase in elevated demand. And right now we estimate, you know, prior to the pandemic, our best estimate was about 35 million Americans were food insecure. We think that number is closer to 50 million now, wow. 17 million of whom are children. It's really interesting just on demand. Consumer Reports did a study recently, and I was really kind of shocked by this even. One in five shoppers that they surveyed at retail groceries across the country had used a food bank or a food pantry since the pandemic started. So we know demand is a big issue. So that's the first thing. On the supply side, as you mentioned, especially those in the restaurant industry know this, it's been a roller coaster. And early on in the pandemic, because of the sharp increases in consumer demand and the impact on the restaurant industry, the whole food supply chain was a bit topsy-turvy as we were all trying to figure out how to take that extra surplus from the ag sector, get it into the charitable sector, help shore up food service industry and restaurants who've been hit so terribly hard by this. So we have made some good gains as a country in the food supply chain, but it is still a bit more constricted than it was before the pandemic because we, you know, still see high levels of consumer demand. We know retailers have been stocking up for the surge that we're experiencing in the virus now. And so there's been some, and worker safety, of course, has sort of created some challenges there. But we are seeing a better flow of food than we did before the pandemic. And then the third thing I would say has been, for us, the impact on our logistics and distribution models. Because, you know, we rely, as I said, those 2 million volunteers a month, we rely on people coming together to help each other. And that means coming together to help pick up food and sort it and pack it and distribute it. And so our whole network all across the country has had to find these new low-touch, no-touch food distribution models. People have seen them on television, people driving their cars through to get food without much human interaction. Home deliveries and innovation that we've seen much more of where we're able to get food directly to people's homes. And so it's been those three dimensions of how this pandemic has impacted our ability to make sure everybody has access to healthy, nutritious food.
It has forced so many people in so many different ways to have to pivot to get the job done and to support people that way as well. Feeding America is, of course, the glue that ties all of those food banks and all of those pantries together. I feel, too, it's also the vehicle for whether it's companies or individuals that want to support. You mentioned the 2,000 volunteers, but just the platform and the voice that you have allows, you know, the message to get out, not only just sharing it with the listeners. Today, I want to let the listeners know we're talking with Katie Fitzgerald. She's Executive Vice President, Chief Operating Officer for Feeding America. And one of the really cool ways that you are able to sort of mobilize support, get the word out to everybody is through those partnerships with corporations, with companies, with great recognizable iconic brands on the restaurant side, some of our greatest food personalities. Talk a little bit about that. If you want to recognize, I've seen some of the commercials, we've seen it with the CEO, ways that you're kind of allowing them to mobilize and get involved in support.
Yeah. So what's really beautiful about the Feeding America network and the mission is that it just attracts people from and companies and organizations from all walks of life. And it's something that we all can relate to and understand, right? Today, of all days, everyone, hopefully a lot of your listeners are all coming together to the best that we can in this pandemic to share a meal. And we understand how important food is. Food is love. Food is nourishment. Food is what we need to be able to get up and go to work the next day. And so we have enjoyed so much support from the retail industry, from manufacturers. In fact, as you probably know, our whole business model is built on donated food. And so from American farmers, from the U.S. government and state governments who throughout this pandemic at the state level deployed National Guard troops to help support distribution, the USDA that has provided additional funding, and we hope will continue to provide additional funding to support Americans at this time. And then, of course, everyday folks, right? People who are making donations and, you know, helping support their local food banks or Feeding America, because it's just something every one of us can do. We know how important food is, and we can all play a part. So it's been wonderful to see so many companies and people wanting to stand in the gap for their neighbors right now during this really difficult time.
Today is Thanksgiving, a day when we're all kind of thinking and talking about food, but it's the start of what is the holiday season and a bunch of different holidays and ways that families can come together, celebrate in whatever ways they can with food. Food is going to be on the front burner, so to speak, in a bunch of different ways. And so, Katie, talk a little bit about that, whether it's, you know, whether it is great companies, you know, that we've got here in our listening audience or celebrity chefs or personalities, or just your average everyday person that wants to help. How can people get involved, and how can people support what's going on?
So, yeah, so there's so many ways to get involved, and from the smallest act to, you know, however far people want to go. So, for, you know, the first thing I would say, of course, is if you're in a position to give something, and I'll talk about what those things could be, you know, think about that. Think what you can give. So if you're a company or a restaurant or a farmer or a food donor, we have a great app called Meal Connect, and you can upload your donation to that app, or you can contact feedingamerica.org, and we can help connect you to your local food bank or through Feeding America to make those food donations possible. And of course, if you're an individual and you want to give food, you can contact your local food bank by going to feedingamerica.org, finding that local food bank and making those donations. Financial gifts are really helpful right now, Dane, because what food banks can do with the financial support is buy in volume, right? And so what you and I can get when we go to the store to buy some cans of green beans to donate it for the same amount of money, the food bank can probably get a case of green beans. So if people are in a position to give a financial gift for this COVID-19 response, they can again go to feedingamerica.org and give a gift there. 100% of those dollars go out to food banks and people facing hunger all across this country. And they can also give directly to their local Feeding America food bank. And then the last thing I would say is, you know, to just use your voice. And we have the Campaign to End Hunger, which is on our website also, feedingamerica.org. And folks can get involved there. We have known always, and it's always been the case, that solving hunger in America, it's really, it's not a food problem that we have in our country. It's a food connection problem. And it requires a lot of private partners and government and the public sector. And so this Campaign to End Hunger is a way to help advocate for all those partners to continue to work together, which we do really well in this country, to make sure that our neighbors have the food they need. And so those are some of the ways folks can get involved, and also just getting on social media and sharing stories and helping people understand that, you know, the 50 million Americans facing food insecurity this year, those are 50 different individual stories. Those are moms and dads and kids and grandparents, people who've worked, who through circumstances outside their control have found themselves in this really scary position. And we each, if we're in a position to do something to help, it feels so good to help. So I hope everyone will think about that today and do what they can to be a part of the solution.
Katie Fitzgerald and Feeding America, helping to connect the dots in so many ways to help support, stop food insecurity and get food out there to so many people in need, not only just today on Thanksgiving, but of course throughout the holiday season and all year long. They've been doing it for 40 years and continue to do that. So Katie, thanks so much for what you're doing. We'll let you get back to your Thanksgiving. Thanks for being a part of ours, and thanks for jumping on the show today.
You bet, Dane. Happy Thanksgiving. And again, happy Thanksgiving to everyone out there. Stay safe. And I'm grateful for your listeners and for your attention to this issue. Thanks so much, Dane.
720 WGN, high atop Chicago in the Skyline Studio. And online, you've seen her on Entertainment Tonight, MTV, How I Met Your Mother, Dancing with the Stars, and more. On the line, we've got actress, host, mom of three, Vanessa Lachey. Welcome to WGN.
Thank you, Dane. That's quite the intro.
I know.
I feel like I gave you my Wikipedia page or something.
I'm not going to say you did, but think about this. This is a day when the greeting shouldn't necessarily be all the stuff that you've done, but Thanksgiving, right? It's Happy Thanksgiving for one, and thanks for joining us on the show. We're going to have a bunch of our kind of food friends and personalities sharing their Thanksgiving traditions. We know this year's is different in a bunch of different ways, but for you, Nick, the three kids, like, what do you guys like typically like to build into your Thanksgiving day?
Well, thank you, first of all, for taking the time out of your day, and happy Thanksgiving, Dane, and to everyone out there. For us in the Lachey household, it is about family, football, food, and hopefully some fun. We love to be in the kitchen together as a family. It's something that is really important to us, creating family traditions, both old ones that we've done for the years and new ones that we can create and continue to do for the years to come. So I've partnered with Libby's Vegetables for the second year in a row, and we've made some fun new recipes. But these are special to me because I can make these with my children. They're old enough now to be in the kitchen and get their hands dirty and make a mess, but understand what it is to put ingredients in each little muffin tin, and I love it.
When it comes to vegetables, that's been kind of the tough thing here. We've got three kids. One of them just likes to eat ramen. The other one, Pop-Tarts. You know, we've got our son. He actually does like vegetables and fruit, so he's sort of that odd man out. But what is it about that or that you're able to do to kind of inspire kids? Certainly, Libby's has great vegetables, but inspire kids to get involved and accept the green side of life.
I think if you have them involved in the cooking process and make it fun for them, they can see what goes into it and they take a little bit of pride in that. And look, it might not happen overnight. You're not going to just all of a sudden make something and they're going to all of a sudden eat their vegetables. But if you continue to introduce it into their daily meal routine, they're going to gravitate towards it. And that's the beauty of this ingredient. It's a perfect, easy way to introduce that to them. You're not chopping and peeling and washing. You're opening a can. You know what I mean? So there's nothing worse than a mom like slaving away in the kitchen with vegetables and then them being like, I don't want this. You're trying it little by little and you're doing it in dishes that are combined with other things like the corn and cheese mini tart that I created with Libby's.
Nice.
Is egg and cheese. And yes, there's corn and red peppers and green onions, but they don't know about that. They just know that it looks like a yummy little pie and they want to eat it, you know? So it's finding ways to introduce it. And look, a lot of us don't have that time, so hopefully me and Libby's can help you with that. GetBackToTheTable.com has a ton of easy recipes that are kid-friendly and that you guys can make together, if anything, make some memories in the kitchen.
Do you guys do some of the cheesy things? Anytime you can mix cheese in it or maybe throw some bacon on it, maybe that'll make it better. But do you guys do the green bean 1,000%. Salad?
I got a garlicky green bean casserole with bacon and toasted cheese crumbs. So that sounds like that's yours, Dane. It's got bacon and cheese in it. I should call that Dane casserole.
Yeah, we'll just throw some lobster on it. Who knows? Yeah, there's no rules when it comes to Thanksgiving and fun. One of the things about this holiday, and we'll get serious for a moment here, is, you know, it's a day that families get together, celebrate with food. You know, for a lot of families, they're apart right now. And even on the food side, a lot of families are further away from food than they've been and than they would like to be. So let's talk a little bit about this. We're going to be doing this throughout the course of the program and sharing some of the ways that we can help those families out there during the holiday time and today and on the food side.
Absolutely. Well, as you said, it's definitely a challenging time for a lot of people, and I'm honored to partner with Libby's because they are making a donation to Feeding America, which is an organization that my husband and I have supported for many years, and their mission is to fight hunger in our country. And it's definitely very real for a lot of people, and every little bit helps. I think it's also important to try and educate the next generation about what it is to be fortunate or less fortunate. I try to teach my kids when we go to the grocery store about getting a can for our family, but then giving a can to another in need. And that's something that they can actually tangibly touch and see and feel and then process and understand, taking them with us to the food bank to make the donations and drop things off. And so they are able to see that and participate in it. And we all really just need to come together and remind ourselves what's important. This has been such a roller coaster year for everybody on so many fronts. But I think at the forefront of it, it's reassessing what's important to us. And family always comes first. And hopefully we all can find a way to lean on each other.
Yeah, well, you hit on it. And when it comes to Feeding America, of course, based right here in Chicago, 200 food banks around the country, 60,000 food pantries that they help and support. And so that message is going to resonate throughout the program as well. And let the listeners know we're talking with Vanessa Lachey. And Vanessa, very last thing, like here in Chicago, Filipino food is as big as possible. I know part of our family, that is part of the background. We always try to get a couple favorites in there. And so for this stuff, do you do a rice stuffing? Do you build in any of those kind of things into what you guys are going to be doing later today?
Yes. Ooh, that's a good idea. You know, I actually posted a video on Instagram, me attempting to make lumpia for the first time. And nice. It was lumpy. It was wrong. I had the wrong wrappers. And look, it's a time where the grocery store isn't fully stocked. And I didn't go to a specialty Filipino store, so I didn't get the right wrapper. But then Nick jokingly called it lashumpia, like Lache, lumpia, lashumpia. But I think that's a great idea. I think I should introduce some of those and start that tradition. So I thank you, Dane, for that inspiration. Look at that. We're all inspiring each other. I haven't yet because I think I'm stuck in, like most people's minds, with the same old. But that's the beauty of incorporating old traditions to new traditions. So I'm going to do that. I wonder which one it's going to be. Probably not La Chompia, because I'm not
Well, remember, Vanessa, there is no rules. If we can make a ding casserole, we can make a La Chompia. We can do it all. Well, I'll let you get back to your family. All of that great food and the great messaging. We'll have links at WGNradio.com. And thanks again for jumping on the show today. Happy Thanksgiving.
Jane, thank you so much. Happy Thanksgiving as well to you and everybody out there. Be safe, guys.